Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and God's favor.
God's favor.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
remembering God's favor.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates. But there's no time like the present
to give love
and not hate.
Just give love.
And one moment here, I see that our music is still playing here. I think we have it all here.
Your friend,
your friend,
we're your friend,
and
we're your neighbor, and we'll lend a
hand,
and we'll lend a hand, and we'll lend
a hand. I believe I got it this time. Okay. All right. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of the Nam Chahid Shabbat. And we want to thank you for joining us as we bring you one of our most thought-provoking spiritual and inspirational discussions by Nam Chahid Shabbat, our guest. And we would like for you to join us with your comments and questions today. So, if you have any comments or questions, just always remember to hit the number one button. Your phone number will show up in our studio, and we'll be glad to have you join us. We are thankful for this beautiful Sunday again to be with you. And once again, Imam Shahid Shabbat, we will bring to you our discussion, which is today on... Today, most Muslims want to talk Islam and forget Islam is a way of living. Yes, that is the discussion for today. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that Islam's foundation is in good morality. Also, he said, faith in Allah is sincerity. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also says that work is worship, not just work for our social life, but work for humanity, and not just work for our personal life. Allah says He created the human beings as nations and tribes that we might get to know each other, not hate and hurt or harm each other. Allah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, says, no one is a true believer in Him until they see themselves as one human family. Most Muslim leaders and followers think that Islam is just for them and forget that Islam is a way of life for all humankind. Each individual Muslim has a responsibility to live and practice Islam as a way of life and to spread Islam to all humanity, to be the example, a model for all humanity. A Muslim cannot fulfill his or her responsibility to Allah if they don't understand this concept of Islamic life. During the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his followers, he worked diligently to spread Islam all over the world. This is why we have this beautiful way of life for Islam today. The first revelation in the Quran that Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, Iqra, was read in the name of your Lord. From a seed of knowing nothing, Prophet Muhammad became Allah's vessel to read the signs in his creation. And Allah began to speak to Prophet Muhammad's heart. souls and minds through himself and all creation. The next revelation the Lord revealed to Prophet Muhammad was, proclaim or spread Islam to the world. Today, most Muslims show in their conduct that they do not understand Islam, because today most Muslims are selfish and they have forgotten that Islam is for the world and not just Muslims. So, you see, we have a beautiful discussion to remind you today that Islam is not just for the Muslims, it's for the world. And we have Imam Shahid Shabazz, who will bring that discussion to you. As-salamu alaykum, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Wa alaykum salam.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah. We have you on the air now.
Okay. We, first of all, want to give all praises to the one to whom all praise is due, and that is Allah. And we want to thank Allah, first and foremost, for, you know, imposing upon us a state next to death when we were asleep, and then raising us back up to life again to give us another opportunity to prepare for his eternity, where there is no more dying, there is no more suffering, there's no more oppression. There's all bliss, eternal bliss. And this is what the believers in Allah, not the Muslim, but the believers in Allah are striving for. Not this world, but we are striving for the life after this world is over, and that is the life in the hereafter. So we thank Allah. And we want to open with the opening prayer of the Quran, the last and final a revealed knowledge from Allah to all mankind through his last prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, the cherisher, and sustainer of all worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, Master, ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us, Allah, the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy favor, thy grace, those whose portion is not rare, and who go not astray. Ameen.
Ameen.
Yes, yes. So as the sister was saying today, we see every day, all over the world, murder. We see horrific crimes. We see killings. Human beings killing other human beings. When Allah created the world, Allah say, in his love, Allah created all his worlds with love, justice, kindness, mercy, all good. So Allah say that he will never change these evil conditions that we see in our life personally and collectively as a human race until we first change that goodness in our heart and go astray from his goodness in our heart and begin to follow our false desires, evil desires of this evil world. That's what we've done, most Muslims, most of us. I won't be include myself because I'm not one of them, but most Muslims. But still, if the Muslim world is not right, that means that every Muslim has to share in the responsibility of making Islam correct so that the rest of the world can become correct in their moral conduct. That is the key to the world of humanity's salvation. Good moral conduct. We don't have that anymore. I was reading in the Quran, this last night where Allah say, you know, he revealed his revelations in the past to Prophet Moses or Musa, Prophet Jesus or Isa, and he say they played false, both of them, the Christians and the Jews, say they played false with his revelation, and they took his revelation for self use, for self-aggrandizement, to benefit only themselves and not the rest of the, their human family. Now Allah say the Muslims have did the same thing. So guess what? Today, the Muslim world is cursed by Allah because they have made Islam like it's a social club just for themselves. And it's, and I say social club because most of them, they're playing games with Islam. You know, they're out here playing, and they're out here doing all types of sport and play. When it's time to pray to Allah, we pray five times a day. A lot of them will say, I'm going to watch the rest of this game, and then I'll make my salat after the game is over. Is the game giving, I mean, is watching the game going to help you please Allah? Is the game going to help you to get closer to your destination, back to Allah? Everything Allah created for his good pleasure. And we look at the universe itself. Everything we look at in the universe, I just come from outside, it's so beautiful. You know why? Because it's all under Allah's good pleasure. It is pleasing Allah because it's doing exactly what Allah put it here to do, and that is to do good. And everything that Allah created, no matter what, how we look at it, he created it for good. He created it for good. And even out of the bad, Allah said he tests us with bad and good. But Allah said his goodness shall prevail over all bad. So no, don't think, Muslims, that because you say you're Muslim, that you just take care of your personal needs and your family, that that's good enough for Allah to accept your faith in him. No, it's not. Allah says in the Quran, well, actually, I'm going to just go back to what the sister said. Go back to the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. He's our example. Allah said in the Quran, he or she who obeys Prophet Muhammad obeys Allah. Okay, so let's go back to the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad and his followers, the Sahabas, the Ansars, the Muhajirs from Mecca and Medina, all his followers, especially in the first 3 years of his life, studied that extensively. Oh, man, Allah said they were the best generation of Muslims. Oh, they gave their whole life to pleasing Allah. Also, I want to mention this because this is the most important part of Ramadan, but most Muslims don't even know it because they show it in their action. Eid al-Adha. That comes next month sometimes. That is the commemoration when Allah, thousands of years ago, asked his prophet Abraham, to sacrifice his son. Prophet Ibrahim wanted a son so that, you know, he, his work that he was carrying out in the cause of Allah could continue. And he wanted all his family to carry out the will of Allah, to be examples of obedience to Allah and the laws of righteousness for the nations of the world. So Allah blessed him with a son, Ishmael. And in a vision, Allah revealed to Prophet Abraham to kill his son, to chop his head off. Now, one would say, why would Allah reveal to him to chop his son's head off? Allah tests us in all kinds of ways, brothers and sisters. It's not for us to question Allah and what he do. It's for us to accept Allah and what he do. Because all that Allah do is for the good. It's for the good. So as Prophet Abraham laid his son down, prostrate on his forehead for sacrifice, he told his son that Allah had revealed this vision to him to sacrifice him. And Prophet Ishmael said, well, Father, if Allah said that you will find me obedient to Allah just like you. So when he laid him down, and was ready to make the sacrifice, Allah said, stop. He said, you've already made the sacrifice. I don't want you to sacrifice human life. I just want you to sacrifice your life to live to please me and not yourself. To please me, to carry out my will, and to please me, to live to serve, work in my service, to please me and not to please yourself. And so he is the epitome, Prophet Abraham, of how we are not supposed to worship our children. We're not supposed to worship our wives. We're not supposed to think we can get more pleasure in our children, wives, husbands, our friends, so-called friends, anybody. You see, we are supposed to be living only to please Allah, because it's only Allah's good pleasure that will draw us nearer to Allah. And as Imam Abdul Karim say all the time, you know, a lot of us Muslims, especially, we too self-righteous. I'm a victim of it too. I mean, because it can easily happen. You do something and you say it's good. Well, it might be good according to what you have read in the Quran or read even in the Hadith. But the key is that you want to make sure it's good to Allah. And one of the ways, before I stop, you make sure you know that it's acceptable to Allah. Allah says when you do good, this Prophet Muhammad, he told them to tell us that when we do good and we feel good about the good we did, and we do wrong and we feel bad about the wrong we did, then we know we're a true believer in Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Thank you again, once again, for joining us. As you can see, we have another good, strong discussion for you today. One that is thought-provoking, and one that you can relate to as the need. Every discussion we bring to you is a need to improve self. Improve self before we can do anything to help anyone else. Yes. And we want you to look into self first and see what it is and that you are doing that you feel might not be pleasing Allah. Or if you can do better at pleasing your Creator, if you're striving really hard, is there anything more you can do or anything better you can do to please your Creator? So we want you to really, really try to understand what your purpose here in life, in pleasing your Creator is, and who your example is, what the examples you are to follow, which is, of course, Prophet Muhammad. And now I see that we do have guests that's been with us since the beginning, and I'm going to call on. The first one that I saw here was a 404 number, 404-247-4713. I believe I know who this person is. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, my brother?
Welcome, ma'am.
So good to have you again with us, brother. And we're going to have you now to give us a few comments.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, brother Abdul Karim Shabazz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm listening to what Imam Shahid Shabazz is saying, and I'm trying to organize my thoughts so that I can dovetail on what he had said, because it was very profound. If you're reading the Quran for the wrong reason, we're reading the Quran, every masjid, or maybe not every, but many masajid have Arabs living in their community that come to their masjid and they offer the imam Arabic classes. And everybody wants to read the Quran in Arabic. But Arabic is not our language. We don't understand Arabic. Arabic has. So when I was studying in Syria, I found some Arabic words that have 100 meanings. Some of the meanings the opposite of each other. And the Arabic that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke is totally different from the Arabic that is spoken in the Arab world today.
That's right.
The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lughat al-Arabiya, Lughati, wa Lughat al-Quran, wa Lughat al-Jannah. This means that Arabic is my language. It's the language of the Holy Quran, and it's the language of Jannah. So all of us are going to speak Arabic when we go to Jannah, those of us that go.
Yes, sir. That's right.
What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this Quran, a blueprint on how we should live our lives to please Him. What? How many of us know what loving Allah means? It means to obey Allah.
That's right.
That's how we love Allah, by obeying Him. And how does He love us? He loves us by forgiving us, by being merciful to us, and by providing for us. And we, during the month of Ramadan, we're told to read the Quran, the whole of it. And at night, we have a prayer called Tarawiyah, where we read a 30th of the Quran every night for 30 nights.
Yes.
This reading of the Quran, however, is in Arabic, and we don't understand it. This is the reason why I started Inner City Voice for Dawah YouTube channel, to simplify the translations so that we can understand the wisdom and guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has sent down to us in the Quran, so we can use that in our lives. We must look at Allah in a different way. He's not Jesus. He's like nothing we've ever seen before.
That's right.
And so it's our responsibility to understand Him through His word, through His intention that He tells us in the Quran. So you have to read the Quran and the Tafsir to explain to you what the Quran didn't explain. And this is the reason Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a model, an example, a walking, talking Quran.
Yes.
And we have to look at it as that, and not as a chore that we have to change our lifestyle to become. If we want Jannah, we have to work for it. And we have to work harder than praying five times a day in the comfort of our houses. I'm using this Inner City Voice for Dawah YouTube channel as a way to discuss among ourselves and others who want to come to be a part of this what Allah means. I'm going to talk to you today about the differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deliberately created in His creation and the purpose for those differences. We shouldn't be using these differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in His creation to despise one another, to hate one another, to kill one another, because I'm better than him, like Shaitan said to Allah. We must understand these differences as a blessing to us, for us to get to know something that looks like us but is not us. I mean, how do we know that an apple tastes the same to you as it does to me? Or an orange? We don't know. But we talk to each other and we get to know each other and we get to try to understand what you experience from what I experience. So I'm going to talk to you today about what Allah says about the differences in creation. Allah instructs us in the Quran. Do you not see that Allah sends down rainwater from the sky, and we bring forth thereby a variety of fruits of different colors? In the mountains also, there are streaks, white, red, and black, with different hues. And likewise, men, beasts, and cattle also have different colors. The fact is that only those of his servants who possess knowledge fear Allah. You can't fear Allah if you're ignorant of who Allah is and what he has done and why. Surely Allah is almighty, all-forgiving. This is in Surah Al-Fatir. This is meant to impress that in the universe created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nowhere is there sameness and uniformity. There is variety everywhere. From the same earth and by the same water, different kinds of trees appear. Even two pieces of fruit of the same tree are not uniform in color, size, or taste. In the same mountain, one will see a variety of colors and a great difference in the material composition of its different parts. Among human beings and animals, you will not see two offspring of the same parents exactly alike. I marvel at the birth of children. I mean, it's amazing. You see that little baby, little teeny tiny baby, grow and come out of that woman. Just like a little me, a little man or a little woman.
That's right.
And then they start to get filled up and grow up, and we want them to be better than us. Well, in order for them to be better than us, we have to teach them how to do that.
That's right.
Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, if a person seeks uniformity in the temperaments, dispositions, and mentalities in this universe, and is surprised at the differences which have been alluded to in chapter 55 of Ar-Rahman, where Allah says that He let loose the two seas that they may meet together. Yet there stands between them a barrier which they do not disobey. So, O jinn and men, which manifestations of your Lord's power will you deny? From these seas come out pearls and corals. So, O jinn and men, which excellences of your Lord's power will you deny? Allah said to Surah Al-Furqan, and it is He who has let loose the two seas, one tasty and sweet, the other bitter and salty. And there is a partition between them, which is an impassable barrier. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this before, but there's a difference between salt water and sweet water, and the two never mix, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a barrier between them. This is something that wasn't known 1,400 years ago when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was revealed the Quran by Jibreel. This is recent knowledge that people are just starting to learn.
That's right.
But they're not telling us. So we have to find it in the Quran And we have to use this Quran in a different way, as a book of guidance. And we have to be able to understand the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is placing this Quran for our salvation.
That's right.
This unique occurrence has been observed in many places in the sea and on the land, that sweet water and salty water exist side by side but are prevented from mixing. Turkish Admiral Saidi Ali Rai, in his book Mirat al-Mamalik, written in the 16th century, has mentioned a place in the Persian Gulf where springs of sweet water exist under the salty water of the sea. It still exists. It hasn't gone away. It's there. Where he could get drinking water for his fleet. In addition, and more recently, the American Oil Company at first obtained water from the same springs in the Persian Gulf before they dug wells near Dahran for their supply of drinking water. Near Bahrain, there also exist springs of sweet water at the seabed from which people have been taking water to drink until quite recently. Besides this apparent meaning, which gives a rational proof of Allah being the one and the only law of the universe.
You have 3 minutes, brother. 3 minutes.
The verse,
excuse me,
okay, friend. Sister, thank you.
You're welcome.
The verse contains a subtle suggestion as well. When Allah wills, He can raise up a righteous community from among Allah's wicked society, just as He can cause springs of tasty sweet water to gush out from under the salty waters of the sea. Sorry if I took too much time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Are you their host?
Yes. Yes, I am. No, I'm expecting you to speak. Yes, what I failed to do, and it's my fault, is to remind each of our guest speakers that we have that you are given 15 minutes. Then after that, after everyone has spoken, then we call on you again to come more. But we try to give everyone a chance to speak, and we give you 15, no more than 15 minutes at first. Then after you, the others have spoken, then we'll call on you again to express yourself. All right. Now, we do have other guests in the audience. Let's see. We have a 336 number, which is, I believe, our other faithful brother that we have here, very supportive brother from Mr. Salem. I'm going to call on him for a moment now. Give us some comments here. And I want you to remember, brothers, 15 minutes, and then after that, after everyone has spoken, then we'll call on you again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I hope everyone's doing well this morning.
You as well, brother. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. When I came on, I just caught the last... Alhamdulillah, I just caught the last few minutes of what Imam Shahid Shabazz was saying, and then the other brother, Abdul Kareem, and I'm also Abdul Kareem from Atlanta, spoke, but I didn't catch the full topic, but the more I caught a lot of what you brothers were saying about the importance of the Quran, and the Quran obviously was revealed to us in the Arabic, and that is the language of Jannah, of paradise, which we will speak if we make it to Jannah, inshallah. But it's important to know what the Quran is saying to us. And if we don't speak the Arabic, then, you know, we need to know the various translations and read the tafsir and try to get a deep understanding. And we ask Allah to give us a deep understanding of the meanings in His Quran, because the Quran has many deep meanings in there. And I just came from the jail, you know, where I talked to you know, a lot of the Muslim brothers in there. And I always tell them, you know, understand the words and start with Fatiha, which we always say in Arabic. The other imam from Atlanta said, you know, in, we have the Tarawiyah prayer and we do that all in Arabic. But Fatiha is our opening prayer, which we say in every rakat, in every portion of our prayer, we say that at least once. And it's important to know it so that we're not just saying blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 because that's all it means if you don't know the words. But when you know the words, any of the many translations of it, all praise to Allah, Lord of the world, Lord of the universe, Lord of all that exists, you know, the most gracious, the most merciful, the extremely merciful, the most, you know, you listen to the different translations of the many, many different meanings of some of the words that Allah chooses to use, like Rahman and Rahim, and they try to translate it to just one word so it's easy for us to say, most gracious, most merciful, or the most gracious, the exceedingly merciful, you know. But when you read the tafsir, which is the explanations of the Quran, and you get as deep a meaning as possible of the words that Allah chooses to use to express to us the importance of this religion, it's mind-blowing. You know, it's mind-blowing.
That's right.
And it's absolutely mind-blowing. And our opening prayer is just the best prayer, you know. And when you read the tafsir and how Allah says it's actually a conversation that we're having with our Lord and us, like when we're saying the most gracious, the most merciful, ruler of the day of judgment, you know, Allah is saying, my servant has spoken the truth, you know, because we're at, and then on the second part of that same surah, we're making dua, we're asking Allah, oh, show us the straight path, show us the path that you have blessed, not the path of those who have gone astray or the path of those whom you have cursed or those who earned your wrath. Don't show us that path. Show us the path that pleases you. You know, these things are just
yes,
an incredible blessing. Words that we could, when your Lord, when our Lord teaches us how to worship him, gives us the words to use on how to worship him, we can't do better than that. So knowing
no,
the English is great, and knowing the meaning of the Arabic. When we learn the Arabic, we could all say it in Arabic, but knowing what it means in your language is a blessing that God has given us that we just can't overlook. And that's just one of the first miracles of the Quran, because it's the opening chapter. And that's all I wanted to say so far. Alhamdulillah. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Brother Imam Abdul Karim. That was very clear, and it was very fundamental and basic, because as you and Brother Abdul Karim from Atlanta said, and my teacher, who when I first came in Islam, was blessed to revert by Allah back to Islam, and 45 years ago now, this year, my anniversary, Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, I'm quite sure most of you have heard of him, this man translated the Quran, like you said, and Brother Abdul Karim said, from the Arabic, in such a way, to me, he's the closest one that gave the deepest meaning of the Arabic in the Quran from just its translation by any translators. Because really the best they can do is just translate it, but it's like this here I want to say, and this is most profound. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, highly glorified, and Most High is Allah above all His creation. Allah say, if all the oceans on earth were ink and all the trees on earth were ink pens, wherewith to write out his words, he say, and if he added seven more oceans to the ocean already existing now with ink, he said, sooner would that ink run out of that ocean than would his words run out. His words would never run out, and the ink in the ocean, all them seven, eight oceans would run out. So this lets you know how deep Allah's message is, and you have got to me, you probably correct me, I stand to be corrected, to me, You cannot understand the depths of a lost truth. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran. He said the believers are those who try to understand the best meaning in the Quran. And that's what he means. The best meaning. The best meaning is the deepest meaning. The best meaning also is not the ritual, but it's the deepest meaning of what the rituals in the Quran he's saying to you. So Allah say, you know, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And Allah did say also to his prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, if we learn the Arabic of the Quran the way Allah revealed it, as Allah revealed it to Jibreel, to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them both, he said, if you learn it in that meaning that he revealed it, he said, and you practice following and obeying his will, it will bring you and lead you all the way to Jannah. And he said, if you don't try to learn the Arabic as he revealed it to Jibreel, alayhi salam, to Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, he said, then it will lead you straight to the hellfire. So this is not nothing light we're talking about here today, because Islam, and I always say that to myself, I say, I be looking at how Muslims all over, I done travel all over, and then I go out and do door-to-door dawah, and I see how people, I mean, so many people, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, smoking a joint, as they call it, weed. I even got in one of my, and I'm not talking about the people that be talking about, no, I'm just making an example. I got a customer in Salisbury, North Carolina, where I work, and I think that she's such a nice person, but she say, my girlfriend is a Muslim. You follow that? My girlfriend. Now, how can you understand the Quran? I'm going to just use that and say, my girlfriend is a Muslim? I know homosexuals that are Muslims. I know people that rob and kill people that say they are Muslims and say Allah is God and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So, is words making, they apparently they don't understand the spiritual, the truth of Allah in the Quran. And Allah say, and I got it right in there on my wall, Allah say, those who read the Quran, if their hearts are not pure, they can't even touch the Quran. And what Allah mean by that is that touching the Quran don't mean reading the book, touching the literary letter, just touching the book. Touching, that means understanding the deepest meaning, the deep meaning Allah revealed this Quran to all, to Prophet Muhammad, for all mankind to come back on his straight path and come off the path that we see today that's leading most of humanity to the destruction and evil, beginning with the Muslims. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, wa barakatuh, Aki. I don't know if I was able to speak again or you were waiting for the sister.
I'm waiting on the sister too, my brother.
Oh, okay, alhamdulillah. But that's absolutely, what you said, brother, is absolutely right, man. The meaning is, the meanings of words that are used in Arabic, there's so many translations, and that's probably why you liked Imam Warfeen's Muhammad translation so well, is because he's an African American coming, like, so he's explaining the Quran. Lots of these folks who explain the Quran, they might have taken English in college or something like that as a class, but they're not from America in lots of cases. They didn't grow up here. English wasn't their first language. So when you have somebody who translates it, who English is their first language, who comes from a city like you do or a city like I do, their explanation of the Quran is going to have words and explanation that we're going to, that's going to sit in our hearts a certain kind of way, and we could understand those meanings a certain kind of way. And that's, you know, why you read more than one translation of the meaning of Quran on your way to trying to learn Arabic as best as you can. You know, you read more than just one translation. Because la uqsimu bihadha al-balad, right? Allah says, I bring to you this city, or I swear by this city. And the one translator translates ballad as city. Another translator might translate La Okusimu Behazal ballad as community or as town or as village, you know. And we can go back. It's a blessing that we can go back to the Arabic and know that it's Allah said ballad. But we know that this translator translates ballad as city, and this translator translates ballad as village. And I, as a person who grew up in New Jersey, might look at city and village as two completely different things. You know,
exactly.
You know, village, I think of, you know, a small group, a couple of hundred people max, you know, maybe they don't even have electricity or something. You know, I might think of it like
that.
So, you know, where I think of city, I might think of, you know, Chicago or Newark, New Jersey or Detroit,
right.
You know, a big city, you know. So these meanings are important for us to know what Allah said, because I think that's a major dysfunction that a lot of other religions have, is that all they have is translations, but they don't know what their Lord actually said. So it's a blessing
that
we can go back to what our Lord actually said, and then it's a blessing when we can have it explained to us and the meaning explained to us by scholars like the late W.D. Muhammad, Warf D. Muhammad, and other scholars who are still here and who have passed, that could explain it to us so that we can get a deep understanding of what Allah is trying to say. And because our Lord taught us how to worship him, we don't need to go no further. we don't need to
That's
go
right.
any further than what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and the information he shared with us from his Lord. Because that's our Lord, our Creator, showing us how we should worship him. If I make a hammer and I tell you how to use, this is what I designed this hammer for, you're going to know how to use that hammer. You might want to use it as
That's
a paperweight.
Right.
You know, you might want to use it to, you know, to do something else with that hammer down the road. But I can tell you what this hammer was created. I made this particular hammer to do this particular job, and that way you know the best use of the hammer. Allah created us.
Exactly.
And he showed us how to worship him through his messenger. So we don't need to look any further. When we have these explanations, it just helps us get closer to our Lord and get a deeper understanding of what it is that he wants from us. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Brother Imam Abdul Kareem. So, sister co-host, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir. Just listening to this beautiful conversation and thinking. And as I was thinking, I was thinking of a saying that I've often heard, there are a world within a world. And as we break that down, it makes me understand even more that whether we can perceive it or not, every word that we say, what we are saying, we might think that others should know it, should see it the way we see it and perceive it. But that's not the way it is. All over the world, people are seeing and perceiving things differently. So therefore, the same message to you might have to be explained differently to someone else for them to get that message. And so we have to understand that throughout. We give it out as clearly and plainly as we can, but we don't expect everyone to understand it, because not everyone perceives things in the way that we do. And there are so many, many different languages and the way that people express themselves, that what we're saying here in English, even though I noticed that we have statistics showing that our message is going out all over the world. Many countries in the world is receiving this message that you are putting out today. There were over 3,014 people who received this message from our statistics here that we are sending each Sunday. So therefore, these people, let me ask, all of them are not speaking English at all. So there has to be interpreted to them so that they can understand
it
in the way that they can see it and understand and perceive it. And I think this is a beautiful conversation, because it says today most Muslims want to talk Islam, forget Islam as a way of living. And that's because most of them are confused as to the understanding of how they should live Islam. And that's why, alhamdulillah, we thank you, brothers, for explaining and making clear to them. And also, helping to understand that they are to follow Prophet Muhammad. He's the model that is to be followed. and not mankind, and man and what he's doing. So now I would give it back to you, brother. We'll have the other brother, perhaps, from Georgia. I believe he hasn't spoken in a minute here. He might have something to say at this point.
Yeah, you know, there's an ongoing battle for the minds of young people in this country that's being waged by people who believe that we live in a created society and or we live in an accidental society. The creationists and the people who believe in the Big Bang Theory, which actually happened, but that's not the cause of causes. We see here now today that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of these differences. This is not to take away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything, but to add to him that he's a great, wise being, if we can call him a being. So if one reflects on the differences in human temperaments and minds in particular, one will see that it is not an accident, but it is a masterpiece of the wisdom of creation. If all beings have been created with uniform temperaments, desires, feelings, inclinations, and ways of thinking, and no room had been left for any difference, it would have been absolutely useless to bring about a creation like man into the world. When the Creator decided to bring into existence a responsible creation, a creation having power and authority, the necessary inevitable demand of the nature of the decision was that room for all sorts of differences should be provided in its nature and structure. So these differences between us and between other aspects of this creation is by design.
Absolutely.
It's not an accident. The main proof of the fact that the creation of man is not the result of an accident, but the result of a wonderful and wise plan and design. Wherever there is a wise plan and design, there must be necessarily be a wise being working behind it. For the existence
exactly.
of wisdom without a wise being would be unimaginable. The more a person is unaware of the attributes of Allah, the more he will be fearless of him. Contrary to this, the more a person is aware and conscious of Allah's powers, Allah's knowledge, Allah's wisdom, Allah's vengeance, Allah's omnipotence, and Allah's other attributes, the more he will fear his own disobedience. And as I said before,
That's right.
To love Allah means to obey Allah.
Absolutely.
We must obey Allah. But we first have to know Allah in order to obey him and fear him. Many of us are just saying the words in Arabic, and we're not understanding the meaning of those words or why we have to say those words. We're not educating ourselves. We have to come together. How did the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be able to read the Quran? They read the Quran 5 ayahs at a time, and they implemented those 5 ayahs in their lives. Then they went on to the next 5 and the next 5 and so forth and so on. And we have to do the same thing. We have to spend time with each other discussing, because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with different minds, different temperaments, different ways of thinking about things. We have to compare notes with each other, and we'll come
That's
up
right.
with the right conclusion if we do this. But if we stay locked in our little houses and try to figure out things through our own intellect, we're not going to be successful. Because
That's right.
He wants us to know each other. He wants us to come together and know each other. So we have to go to the masjid.
That's
to
right.
events where we can read the Quran in English. We can read the Quran
yes.
for understanding in English. This is our language.
Yes.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Abdul Kareem. That's very important. And now, Brother Abdul Kareem, me and Brother Abdul Kareem here in Muslim Salem, Brother Imam, our Imam at the Masjid, I talked to him about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was just listening to him how it's so many murders, and we're in Muslim Salem. I'm just talking about in this one city, and I'm from a city called Durham, North Carolina. These little southern cities, they're just like a big city like Chicago or Detroit. New York, you got murder, the gang cities. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and the Sahaba, they had to go out there among those people that was trying to kill them all the time. I mean, all the time, this man was ducking and dodging, him and his followers, the first 3 years of his mission. But yet, and a lot of times the man was by himself, and peace be upon all of them. And what I'm saying that to say that I was talking to the co-host, and I was saying that, you know, we as believers in Allah says in the Quran, all his prophets and messengers walked through the streets and did die or talk to people. And, you know, when you say outreach, or reach the people, you got to go out in the community to reach the people. You can't reach the people if we organize at the masjid and we learn the Quran. I mean, in its deepest meaning, it still has to be put in practice in the outer community in order for the public to benefit from Islam. And so I just said that to say that the Imam, I told them about the dawah and how I'm out there, and the people are really searching, and a lot of these people coming out of prison, especially the young African-American brothers here in America, they're repeat offenders. But a lot of them learn Islam, and they really like Islam, I can tell. But this society is so well-organized diabolically to keep them from being able to understand that Islam is not a fad. That Islam is not a fad to just speak words, but Islam is a way of life. I'm going to say this and I'm through. I think it was, it doesn't matter, Nixon and Reagan and J. Edgar Hoover, FBI leader years and years and years for a long time. They said what they feel more than an atomic bomb hitting America was true Islam reaching the hearts and minds of the people of America. I want to mention another man because this is very important too, very powerful. I don't know if any of you, I'm quite sure you have heard of a man back in history called Napoleon Bonaparte. He was a European emperor, ruler, and he told his you know, all of his cabinet, as you would call it, you got the cabinet up there, you got the president, the senate, and all that. He got all his people together, and he said, you know, if it's in the religion that I would want to be the leader of, it would be Islam, because Islam teaches the concept that God is one God, and that you can see that because when you look at the world, you don't see confusion, you see order. Discipline, order. He said, but when you teach people that God is three in one, it's no order in that. He says it don't make sense, and it's no order, and it's got to die out because it has no reason or logic behind it. So that man said that some, you know, hundreds of years ago. So I just wanted to put that out there so that the Muslims can understand that first we have to do da'wah on ourselves and a jihad, which is spiritual warfare. And the way you do that the best is dhikr, by the remembrance of Allah. And all you got to do all day long is that Allah said, when the thought of evil from the shaitan say in your mind, call Allah to remembrance, and lo, Allah will bless you to see aright. And so Allah say, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest force or power we have in this world without doubt, and Allah sees and knows all things. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. Today's discussion is, today most Muslims want to talk Islam, forget Islam is a way of living. Yes, and we understand that that's because they don't understand how to live Islam. They are confused because they try to still follow and live in the world as a part of the world and please the world. They're realizing that they have a job. They have been chosen not to please the world, but to change the world, because the world is all headed in the wrong direction. And I want to thank you, ma'am, Shahid Shabazz, and thank you to wonderful guests who have been consistent with us and helping us to understand and to change and come back to the right way, the best way of living our lives here today. And we know that it's not long that any of us are going to be existing on this earth, that each day we're getting closer to our Creator, closer to His call, back to Him. And we should be more concerned about that than anything else on earth. Are we living to please our Creator? Are we living for the purpose that He has chosen for us to live this life? These things should be number one on our mind of what we are mainly striving for. So we want to let you know that we are here for you with this show. If there's anyone out there in the radio listening audience who have a comment, I'd like to say anything, press number one. Press number one on your phone. Your number will show up here in our studio, and we'd be glad to have you join us with your comment. And now I'll give you again, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Yes, thank you very much. I just wanted to recite from the beautiful, glorious, wonderful book of Allah, the Quran, the clear revelations of Allah that clarifies all His revelations He ever revealed from the first prophet Adam down to the last of the prophets Muhammad, peace be upon them all. I want to read here let you understand, hope that you understand what I'm trying to get, the message that I'm trying to get across to you in this reading. Allah says here, this is Surah 9, and actually it's right under Ayat 72. Allah says the hardest striving and fighting are needed to combat or fight against evil and hypocrisy. Allah says, for sin can reach a stage when the doors of forgiveness are closed. Allah say the good must shun all evil as unclean and gladly welcome all chance of service and sacrifice as bringing them closer to the presence and mercy of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Malaikum as-salam. Yes, and at this time we will have another brother's comment. We do have another number that has come on, but they just came on, so we will give them a chance to listen first. And Imam Abdul Kareem, if you have anything to say at this time, we'd love to hear from you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well,
I just wanted to close out I just wanted to close out with a little bit more of the differences in Allah's creation.
Excuse me, Brother Abdul Kareem. I don't think she was talking about closing out. See, she got to be more, the co-host got to be more specific. See, and by your name being Abdul Kareem and the other brother here in Winston, the sister said we had another guest on, and she wanted Imam Abdul Kareem out of Winston to see if he had something to say and let this other guest come on. I want every guest to come on, every guest.
Okay.
So I didn't mean to cut you. I didn't mean to cut you, but I had to because I had to direct the show. So if Brother Abdul Kareem have something to say, would you say it briefly and then let the other guests come on?
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I wanted to bring up a topic that relates to not just giving lip service to the Quran or to this religion and knowing that we had to live this religion. And I wanted to, but I didn't want to open a can because this might go deep. But, you know, some things are being legalized and normalized in our society, which a lot of people are starting to make excuses for and, you know, say, oh, well, if, and I'm talking specifically about marijuana here, how, you know, now it's going to be legal and some of the extracts of it are going to be legalized in most of the states. And, you know, you have people who always thought it was very natural and things like that. And how Islam, you know, when you don't just give it lip service, but you follow the rules, it's not necessarily all about what we think or what we want to do. You know, intoxicants and hallucinogenics and things like that are prohibited in Islam unless, you know, you need them for surgery or some kind of medicinal purposes. You know, you can't just say, oh, well, you're going to legalize marijuana, so it's okay. You know, unless you have glaucoma or some kind of medical reason, you can't say that. And these things will continue to happen. But the Quran was going to be our last guidance till the end of time. So no matter what new comes up, what new circumstance comes up, what new incident comes up, we should be able to turn to the Quran and the Hadith and find an example and find a solution to whatever it is that we come up to. So I just wanted to mention that since society is going to make all kind of things legal now and in the future, we know as Muslims we have to just not give lip service to the deen of ours. We have to follow Islam and follow what Allah says and not what we want to do. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you, Brother Abdul Kareem. Now we are be glad to have this other guest on, the sister co-host was talking about. If she still had the guest, I would love to hear them.
Yes, we do have a guest here, a 202 number, 202-705-9157. Let's see if this person would like to have a word to say. Assalamu alaikum. Could you give us your name?
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. It's always a pleasure to talk to my Muslim family. I called in just a few minutes ago because I wasn't near the phone where I knew it was that time, but I saw where the sister had let me know that it was about that time on one of my messages. So I'm not exactly certain as to what the conversation was about, but the little that I just heard, I can definitely agree with the brother that just spoke about what I look at as guidance and, you know, reminders and, you know, and the laws of God, you know, and what he put in his creation as far as the earth is concerned, and it's resources, you know, the vegetation, the herbs, even the animals, you know, that Allah provides sustenance for us. And it's all about
yes.
how we're supposed to use it and certainly not abuse it, you know.
That's
and
right.
so I, yes, sir. And I did gather that much up. And so I'll just
You gathered a lot.
Well, thank you so much, my brother, because, you know, when you communicating and talking to your Muslim family, it's always something in my heart that has something to say, you know?
Yes.
You know, good and peaceful to say, you know.
Yes.
So I thank Allah for calling y'all while you were still on here.
Thank you.
Thank you, my beautiful sister. Sister Naiche from D.C., yes. A very beautiful
yes.
sister. We always glad to have her. And we're so glad that she's enjoying the show and so thankful that she was
Thank
able
you.
To come on. All right.
Thank you,
so for those who just coming on, I see someone else lit up. Let's give them a chance first before we call on them. And we'll have them to join in the discussion and give their comments. Once they know what the discussion is about, what the talk today, for those of you who are just coming in or listening, is today most Muslims want to talk Islam and forget Islam is a way of living. This is our discussion for today. We have some beautiful imams on from Georgia and from Winston-Salem, as well as our host, Imam Shahid Shabab. And we want you to join us, even though you're late. You still have a few minutes left. Enough left for you to come in and to listen in, too. And now back to Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Well, if we do have a guest that want to come on, out of every beautiful thing that everybody has said, I just want to put the icing on the cake and say that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, religion is sincerity. So even if you don't know, it's just like Allah say briefly, Allah say if you and intentions in Islam is everything. Because Prophet Muhammad said Allah going to raise us up on the day of judgment based on our intentions in this world. And to give you an example, Allah said if you intend a bad deed, but for some reason you think about it, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, Allah said he will reward you for a full good deed. This is how merciful Allah is and how deep those the other imams were talking about the Quranic language of Allah is. It's so deep. And then not only, and the hadith, the sayings and the life of Prophet Muhammad is so deep. We need to study all the time. And when we was growing up in this country as so-called Christians, they used to say, Prophet, they said Jesus was in this world but not of this world. Well, that is true. And if you're going to be a true believer in Allah, Allah's world is not the world you see. Allah's world is the world you can't see. So what is the first thing Allah say in Surah 23 about the believers? He said the believers are those who what? Who believe in Allah? That's first. And then what's next? And believe in Allah and fear they fear Allah. Even though they can't see Allah, they still fear to displease Allah, because even though they know they don't see Allah, they know in their souls and heart Allah see them, because he's omnipresent. He's never absent at any time or place. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, thank you, ma'am, Jade. And we want to say, we acknowledge the guest. I don't know, this guest might have been listening in the audience and the guest come on to comment. I don't know how long this guest has been on, but we will see at this point if they have anything to say if they've heard enough of the discussion, to comment. That number is 419-418-4367. Seems like it's not coming on here. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear us?
I think that's a number I'm familiar with. I think that's a number I'm familiar with. Excuse me. I didn't mean to cut in. And I think that particular Muslim sister, I think it's a sister, I think she just like to listen. She don't really, you know, like to get too many comments. She like to listen.
All right. Yeah, I did get a male's voice, too, but whoever it was, they just they dropped, hung up all together, so they're not with us anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, we thank them for at least joining us at the time. I don't know, like you said, we might invite them away when we ask them to come on. Some people don't like to talk. They don't want to be heard, but their number should not be showing. I don't know how it's worked in the studio. Unless they want to say something, you should not see their number. Because when you see their number, that means they push the number one button to say that they would like to come on and they have a comment they'd like to make. That's the whole purpose of pushing the number one button. And if they don't want to come on, then they should not push that button. And we won't have them to come on because we want to see the number there. All right, Imam Shahid Shabazz, we're back to you again. Or you might want to have one of the other guests, the Imam from Georgia this time to speak, or the Imam from Winston-Salem.
Yes, we would love to have our brother, Imam Abdul Kareem from Atlanta, to give a comment at this time. And just try to keep it short if you can, Brother Imam, because we don't have too much long. I know that.
And Brother Imam, I want to apologize. Walaikum Asalaam. I have been calling you Imam Muhammad for some reason. I guess I heard your name wrong. So I apologize for that. Okay, you're on the air now.
No problem. I encourage you to go to my YouTube channel at Inner City Voice for Dawah and look at these videos and listen to these videos and do your own research. The one who is fearless of Allah is illiterate, even if he has all the knowledge of the world. However, the one who knows the attributes of Allah and fears Allah in his heart is learned, even if he is illiterate. In the same connection, one should also know that in this verse, the ulama does not imply scholars in the technical sense, who are termed as religious scholars because of their knowledge of the Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, and philosophy. They will prove true to this verse only when they possess fear of Allah in their hearts. The same thing has been said by Abdullah bin Masood, when he said, knowledge is not due to the ability for much narration of hadith, but due to much fear of Allah. The scholar is he who fears Allah, though he has not seen him, and turns to what is approved by him and keeps away from what makes him angry. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful. Very, very powerful. Oh, that was such a powerful note. Because over the 45 years I've been in this hell called America, as an African-American, coming up out of slavery, you know, they tried to kill me because I don't, first of all, when Allah guided me back to him in al-Islam in 1976, I didn't fear, I never feared death, no way. But then after Allah revealed in this book, Quran, don't think of those who die submitting to my will as dead. No, he said they still living. Oh, man, that gave me all the courage. I can fight the whole America in Jahiliyyah, disbelieving people. And that's what I actually had to take on. Because I done traveled all around this country, especially from the northeastern quarter, from Buffalo, New York, back to Miami, Florida. And been out in the streets. You know, giving out Qurans, I mean, you know, talking to people, I've been shot at with shotguns. I've been shot at with guns. I've had guns drawn in my head and numerous, simply because, and it was by African-American people, simply because they were so deep in this Caucasian slave mentality that they taught our ancestors to hate themselves, to hate black and love white. Gave them a white religion even to make this more stronger. And they gave them a white religion over 500 years ago, our ancestors, that they brought from Africa. And they made the God white, and they were the white God. That's why they got their white face on their own money, because they worshiped their materialism. And Allah said, even in the Quran, they wish they could be given a life on this earth of 1,000 years, really meaning that they wish they could live around here forever. That's why you find the pale-skinned Jews and Gentiles, Europeans, always trying to get facelifts, especially the rich ones, because they don't want to look old. They want to live around here forever. You see, but Allah said even if he granted them a life of 1,000 years, at the end of that 1,000 years, they going to die, and they got to come to him for judgment and pay for all this oppression and evil that they have oppressed his people with and spread it all over the world, went all over the world killing and murdering up, especially the darker part of the human race. And they have tried to lord themselves as gods here. So the fear of Allah is the key to our being able to have even a chance to make Jannah. And the fear of Allah, as the Imam said, the fear of Allah is the fear to do anything that Allah say don't do. And also Allah says the fear of Allah, he don't just say fear him in the Quran. Allah says fear me. Fear to go against my will. Why? Because Allah said, fear the fire also. Because if you don't fear Allah, that's why you got these a world full of insane people. They don't fear Allah. What is the fear of Allah? In our conclusion, the fear of Allah is the fear to do evil. If you don't have the fear of Allah, it ain't nothing you won't do. I mean, I remember this man right here in my conclusion. They call him John the Baptist, but his name was Yahya, Prophet Esau, a prophet, so-called Jesus' cousin. This man was so strong in his faith. I always think about this man, too. This man was so strong in his faith that the king at that time told him, say, if you don't worship me, if you go ahead on and worship me as your God like everybody else, say, I won't cut your head off. He said, but if you don't bear witness that I'm God and that God you're talking about, Allah, is not God, I'm going to cut your head off. The prophet Yahya told him, say, what you waiting on? Go on and cut it off, because I'm not going to renounce Allah. Now, that's how much that man feared Allah. Now, this is the message behind that. That man, he didn't have to do that. Allah say, under circumstances where somebody going to take your life, you can renounce Allah and Islam and Muhammad on your tongue, but just don't renounce it in your heart. And he said, you can do that. But this man was so strong in faith that just like Bilal, Ibn Rabb, our ancestor, as Bilalian, African-American people, they put him out in the sun and put a millstone on his chest during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad. That ordinarily, that millstone would have crushed him in two. They put it on his chest, and Allah wouldn't even let it crush the man. And the only thing he kept saying once he found out Allah was one, he said, aha, one Allah, one Allah. So Allah saved him. So our only salvation is to fear Allah. Fear doing anything against the will of Allah. And Allah say, fear to do all that is wrong, and strive as though you're in a race towards all this good. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, which is brought to you every Sunday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to thank you for joining us. We have about 2 minutes left now, and I'm going to let Imam Shahid Shabazz close out at this time.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to say to Brother Abdul Kareem in Atlanta, that was a beautiful way for us to close out, because, you know, that's the topic was about Muslims not fearing Allah. You're seeing so many Muslims killing other Muslims. I mean, I can't think. It's unbelievable, you know, and they're doing so many things, but they don't have the fear of Allah. You know, and the fear of Allah is Islam. That's your life. That's the protection for your life in this evil world. Allah said the root of all evil is the love of this world. So if you don't fear Allah, you have no protection from the evils of yourself and this world. Oh Allah, there is none worthy of our worship except you. You and you alone is the sustainer of all worlds and all creation. Protect us, Allah, from ourselves and the evils of ourselves and the evils of this world, and grant us a place in your Jannah, your eternal kingdom to come in the life and the year after the true mu'minun, the true believers. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you for joining us again next Sunday at the same time, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.